So this is a red letter day for Selvin on the City. Down here in the basement record library, we have the Red Rocker himself. Welcome, Sammy Hagar.
Joel, it's an honor to be here, and I got to tell you, this place is out of sight, man. I mean, come on, a guy, any record hound and his, you know, music hound could just go nuts in here. Man, I'm surprised people don't steal stuff from me when they come down here.
You're digging the library.
I'm digging the library. It's vibing hard on me, man. It's vibing hard. He's even, ladies and gentlemen, he even has a few of my old classic 33 1/3 over there.
we're way stocked in vinyl here.
Oh yeah, man.
Sam, you know, I have a couple of records that you mailed me.
Well, Joe, back then I was trying to get a good review from you.
That's
tough,
know? I know.
Yeah, and back then a good review mattered. So you know, it did.
Well, great to have you here, Sammy. I've got a bunch of your records pulled out. You've made so many records. And how many solo albums have you done? Do you know?
I really don't know.
Do you have a favorite of your solo albums?
Well, I know it sounds crazy, but my newer last two solo records that I own, which is Not For Sale and 1013, and I just released them independently. I think Not For Sale is my favorite record ever. And I only released it through through Tower Records and through the, you know, whoever they subbed it out to. But at least I own it, you know, and it didn't get a major distribution. It didn't go worldwide, but you know, it sold like 87,000 copies or something through just little stores like that. So it was great, but doing it independent is not the way to go. Let me tell you. You know, they say, yeah, but you make $9 a record. I'm going, yeah, but you only sell 50,000 records. You know, you can make $2 a record and sell 5 million records. That makes a little more sense. But because it's really not about the money for me with a record, because you're not going to make money on a record anymore anyway, I don't think. It's the idea is to have it the distribution be good so that your fans can buy it and so that you can. And they can go around playing it for people, and it can be in Europe, and you can go over and play Germany, and they have your new record. You know, that's the idea of the, you know, the whole record business for me has always been so I could go tour. And if they don't distribute it properly, you're out there playing your new songs, and the fans are going, wow, I've never heard that before, you know? That's not cool. So, anyway. But I'm all good with everything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I play with my fans anymore. See, that's the good part about what Sammy's done for is by reinventing myself. Now it's how I present the party. It isn't what songs I play at the party. It's like if you go to a guy's party, you know, he can play whatever he wants. You know, if he plays Led Zeppelin, Little Stones, Little Who, you know, Little This, Little That, Little Sex Pistols, whatever. It's the party that matters, right? Well, it's my party that matters. And what the music we play is just...
The tequila thing works right into that, doesn't it?
Yeah, the more bust you are, the easier it is to tolerate what we're doing up there.
That's right. The more you drink, the better we sound.
That's right. Let me tell you. Now, the tequila thing, it's so funny because when I'm playing Mexico, everyone's drinking tequila. And it's like everyone's on the same wavelength. You know, it's a party. It really happens. Then you come and you try to do the same thing somewhere else. And one guy's drinking gin, one guy's drinking vodka, one guy's drinking this, drinking that, smoking this, doing that. And the party's all mismatched. And all of a sudden a fight breaks out. You know what I mean? It's like, that doesn't happen in Cabo. So I think the tequila kind of fuels the whole thing. If everyone's got the same buzz. You remember the old days at the
Chemical
Fillmore?
Compatibility.
Totally. The old days at the Fillmore, everybody was high on the same thing. Was awesome. I mean, a whole night of, like, believe it or not, that works with booze or anything else as well. Everyone on the same wavelength, chemical compatibility is a wonderful way to put it. But, you know, certain things don't mix. So the tequila kind of helps unify the thing. And everyone says, oh, we got to do a couple of shots of Cabo and go see Sammy, you know. And it works. For me, it works.
It's perfect. What a bringer.
Thank you.
do you remember your first recording session with Van Halen?
We recorded the audition. It was like an audition. It wasn't really an audition. I was going down to see if I wanted to be in that band. And we did it in the recording studio because Eddie had his own studio then. And we did two songs from 5150, Good Enough and Summer Nights, were the two songs that he had tried to work up with him and Mike and Al. And I walked in, I heard it, and I started singing. And it was awesome. I mean, to me, I came back home and I kept thinking, wow, that was a real unique sounding band, you know, because you always heard it with Dave before, and Dave was great in the band, but the music, when it's stripped down with no Dave, Cream was my favorite band ever, and yeah. It reminded me so much of Cream, because everything was kind of slow. It wasn't like hyper music. It was, you know, some of those grooves, you know, it just, I don't know, I can't explain it. It just really stuck in my heart and in my soul, and when I got home, I went to sleep, and I put the CD on, the cassette on the next morning. And I just went, oh man, I'm joining this band.
Hello, baby!
Good enough to, yeah!
That was a good run for you. How many records did you do with Van Halen?
I don't remember that either. But, but let's see, I think five or six or whatever it was. But, you know, all number one records and all multi-platinum. And, you know, it was an awesome run. Without Van Halen, I wouldn't be as confident in life and with my music as I am today. That band gave me the success of that. Took away all my insecurities, and you know me from the old days. I was a very insecure rock guy. You know, as a front man, I couldn't even open my eyes and look at the audience when I was up there singing the Montrose. You know, I was scared to death, very insecure, not self confident at all. And when I sang, I held back so much I couldn't even let things out. And in Van Halen, I opened up, and that's why my range expanded. And all of a sudden, people go, "Wow, I never heard you hit those kind of notes." I'm going, "I never knew I could. I never had the confidence to do it." So after Van Halen, I came out. Sammy is a pretty solid guy right now. You know, I figure I can walk into any situation with no fear, as we were talking. I'm pretty much fearless. As much fighting and bickering as we've done over the years after that, hey, I owe him everything for the bringing me to that point in my life where I feel like I am who I am and I'm doing what I want to do.
This is Joel Selvin, our guest tonight on Selvin on the City, Sammy Hagar. Stick around, Sammy is.